I guess I should say welcome back to episode 3. I'm Jonathan Hamilton.
I'm Jim Martin.
And we are no experts. This is a podcast that we bill as an uninformed search for truth, which basically just means that we talk about things we're not really familiar with and have done little or no research on. And this week, or this two-week period, Jim, you've chosen a topic for us.
Yeah, so I've been inspired by... Let me start by saying, as awesome as this is, I'm going through currently, my wife and I are watching The Simpsons from what will hopefully be start to finish.
This is an epic marathon.
Yeah, and it's going to take a long time because we're only watching an episode a day.
Oh, wow.
Right. And not even at that, right? Because Saturday might roll through and I don't watch an episode.
Sure.
Right? So I'm saying we're probably watching more like 5 episodes a week. Yeah. And anyway, we got through season 1 pretty well. And then season 2, there was an episode, and actually it's the first Treehouse of Horror episode. Horror Terror. Treehouse of Terror?
I think it's Treehouse of Horror.
I should know. I watched it recently. I think it is too. Anyway, the Halloween episode.
Yeah.
That inspired this. And in it, I think it's the segment, because those episodes have different, you know, segments. Is, I want to say, A Hungry Are the Damned, or Damned Are the Hungry. Anyway, it's the one, it's the first one with the two aliens, King and Konos, I believe. And they show up on Earth, Springfield, and they abduct the Simpson family.
Okay.
And the Simpsons, there are some spoilers here, so if anybody doesn't want to know what happens, in an episode that was, I believe, first aired in 1990, tune out for the next minute and then come back. Anyway, so yeah, they abduct the Simpsons and Lisa kind of suspects them. I don't know if it's based on their appearance because they're kind of ugly, that they're going to cook them or they're going to eat the Simpsons, right?
Okay. Yep.
They're fattening up, they're feeding them, they're giving them all kinds of delicious food. Anyway, they drop them back off in Springfield instead of taking them back to their home planet, I can't remember at the minute, something 4, the number 4, I believe. Anyway, they take them back to Springfield and they're like, hey, you could have had it all. You could have lived with us. You could have had, you know, experienced pleasures you never would know here and been happy and all this stuff. But, you know, it turns out you were just, your untrusting nature, you know, led you to this, and we can't take you with us now. Mm. And that made me think, well, if I was in a similar situation, what would I do? Would I go with them in the first place if they just asked nicely? If they're like, hey, you want to come with us into space and visit our home planet? Or, you know, and I guess not necessarily those two aliens. I mean, it's, the question's based on those two, but it could be any aliens, right?
Okay, well, we need to set some ground rules then. We need to come at this from a common... like, we didn't do a good job with the time travel thing, in my opinion.
Ground rules are for suckers.
No, I think we need some ground rules in this case. So, number one, are these aliens coming to you personally?
Yeah, they didn't invade the planet. They have not taken over the Earth.
Okay.
Right? They just showed up at your door, your backyard, whatever. Your neighbors probably don't know they're here.
Okay. And are they somehow already familiar with Earth and its culture, and they're communicating with you kind of naturally? Or is it like...
That's unknown. You don't know. They're just like, hey, buddy, like, you know, we're here because we need to take a couple of humans back, and we randomly selected you. We just, you know, we just showed up at your door. And like, do you want to go with us? And you believe them. Like, they have some... They seem high tech. They have spaceship. Maybe they showed you some kind of technology that seems to prove it to you.
Okay.
I don't know how they look. Well, that's part of the topic, I think, is that could change things, right? Like,
yeah.
Do they look like people you want to go with, or do they look scary? And
yeah,
like, no. But there's no indication offhand that they're forcing you to go with them, right? They're not.
The choice is yours.
They're not abducting you.
Yeah. And is this permanent, or are they bringing you back?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Well. Does it change your answer?
I think it would.
Yeah.
Potentially, right? So which scenario are we exploring here?
Let's say I guess you could ask him, right? You could, like, if I asked them and I said, hey, is this, you know, if they just said, hey, you want to go with us? My first question would be, well, how long are we talking about here?
Yeah.
You know, and who knows, maybe because of their time travel, or they're not time travel, but their travel method, right? They could be fast. And even though I've been gone for a long time, and I could really be back in what seems like a couple of days.
Okay.
But for argument's sake here, let's just say a year. You're gone for a year.
Okay. You'll be gone from Earth for a year.
Yeah, you'll get back and a year has passed on the Earth.
Okay. Okay. So I have a lot of thoughts about this. And first and foremost is, apart from just the mere fact that these alien visitors are coming after me or coming to me, like the existence of aliens brings a sort of, like the confirmed existence of aliens brings a sort of existential dread, right? Because it answers the question, like conclusively, are we alone in the universe? And the answer turns out to be no. And that fundamentally changes so many things about the way we live our lives and what we expect of the future and what we know of our own history, right? That's deeply unsettling to me. I think if aliens showed up, I would probably be afraid just because of that.
Yeah, I think I'd be pretty afraid regardless of how they looked, and it would get worse if they looked mean. If, you know, just because they were there in the first place. You're right. Like, let alone the, do you want to come with us kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I'd be pretty afraid just the fact that they're here.
So what would it take in terms of their appearance or their proposition or whatever, what would it take for you to overcome that fear and accept their offer?
Well,
or their invitation, I should say.
You know, I guess I'd have to ask, can my wife go?
Okay.
I don't want to go by myself for a year, right? Yeah. Companionship ultimately would make things a lot easier, a lot more fun. And, you know, I'd miss her if I was gone for a year. So, that's my first question. And assuming the answer is, yeah, sure. Yeah, you can both go.
Okay. Right?
I'd be more likely to go. I also think if they're asking this way and they're obviously have some kind of superior technology, that should give me the indication that they don't have ulterior motives, right?
Mm.
Like, if they wanted to just take me, I'm going to assume they probably could.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're asking nicely should mean that maybe, I should give them the benefit of the doubt, I guess.
Yeah, I think that seems right to me. And from a rational perspective, I think you'd have to take them up on the offer. Because, you know, Lord knows, it's probably never going to come your way again, right?
Yeah, I think I'm going.
Okay.
I agree.
So, what would give you pause?
Well, I guess if they said, you know, you're on your own, you can't go with your wife, but it's still a year. I mean, maybe I'd go for a year because, a year's not that long, you know.
Yeah.
And surely, you know, I'm going to gain something by it, from it. Maybe they're going to, I'm going to learn some, you know, secrets for their science, that advanced science that hopefully I can actually understand. Or I don't know, maybe they'll give me some kind of tools or something that I can come back with and use.
Huh.
It makes me think of, did you ever read, I know you started to read something at one time, the short stories, the sci-fi stories from William Ten. I think Here Comes Civilization was the name of the book.
Yeah, one of the stories in it, a guy actually does get invited along, but he doesn't really have that much of a choice, right, to go with some aliens. And I forget what I don't think I finished that story.
I was thinking, I don't think he goes with aliens. What I'm thinking of is, I think it's called Beetlejuice Bridge. And if you, again, this is going to be some spoilers, and if you haven't read it, he's a little obscure, right?
Mm.
But if you haven't read any of these, they're good stories. I like the book quite a bit, or his short stories. A lot of them are about aliens, though. But so I could see how that could be confusing. But the one I'm thinking of, if you hadn't read it, is a couple of aliens show up on Earth. I think they're kind of ugly. If I remember right, they look like slugs or something, which is funny because it's kind of similar to the Simpsons aliens. And they somehow, after being here a while, let it slip that they have some kind of machine that they have to get back to because it like extends their
lives.
It makes
them immortal. I did read that
one.
Yeah.
And then the humans are like, I think they're on like a late night talk show, like a Letterman, Leno, whatever the new thing type is, right? And they let that slip in an interview. And then everyone's like, you know, the UN and whatever are like, yeah, well, we want one of those. What will it take for you to give us one? And they want our mining rights, I think, or...
They wanted, like, all of the uranium on the planet or something like that.
It is something like that. And they... We agree, of course. And they give us one of these... gosh, I'm going to spoil this, right? Because there's no way not to. So, yeah, again, tune out if you haven't read this. But there was a lot of good short stories in there by the same guy. And the machine works, and you know, it cures all kinds of diseases for people, and everybody gets their chance to use it, and everyone's happy. But after a couple of years, it stops working, and I think it's because like it needed the uranium to run off
right?
So they just kind of and I think that's the title, right? They like sold us the Brooklyn Bridge, essentially.
Yeah, right. They rooked us.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's one of those things, right? Like, hey, and I don't mean to say, could it be a hoax? In our scenario here, but more like, could they have some kind of advanced technology like that, that maybe I could, you know, be given, you know, or steal, I guess, if the opportunity should arise.
Yeah, I don't, I can't even imagine a scenario in which intelligent alien life that would invite me along would either have need of anything of ours or would have anything that we would find useful. Just because I feel like the likelihood of us being at a similar, like close enough level of technological advancement seems so slim to me. There's a comic book, old comic book limited series called The Squadron Supreme, and one of the stories in it is about this guy, one of the members of the team, this super genius named Tom Thumb, who finds out that he has cancer. And because he's a super genius, he figures, well, I'm just going to build a time machine and go like super far into the future where cancer's been cured and come back with the cure, right? So he does this, and he goes to get the cure, despite everyone telling him it's a terrible idea, that he shouldn't meddle, he shouldn't bring the cure for cancer back to the present from the future, because it will ruin the timeline and stuff. Whatever, he goes there, he finds it. The cure is this elixir called the Panacea, right? It's this high-tech cure-all. So he gets it, he brings it back to the present, he analyzes it, and it turns out to just be like basically vitamin-enriched water. And the reason it's such an effective cure-all in the future is because there were like 10 centuries of intervening medical advancements that eliminated most of the diseases and made people generally hardy enough that they did not fall ill.
Interesting.
Right? Yeah. And so he got the cure, but it was completely useless to him because he didn't have, you know, all the benefit of all the advancements in between. You couldn't like shortcut to it. Now, right. You know, whatever, you instantly think, well, just go, you know, find some other treatment somewhere else in the timeline or whatever. But anyway, the point being, I think as unlikely as the scenario is to start with, I don't think that there would really be that much of a meaningful technological exchange. I think it could only be a meaningful cultural exchange at best. And that's good enough for me. Like, there's so many, I don't know, philosophical, religious, anthropological questions that intelligent alien life would probably definitively answer, that we'll probably never get those answers any other way.
It would be cool just to be able to hang out with them for an extended period of time, get to know them. Hopefully they'll take you around the universe a little bit and you get to see some other life planets, visit other places maybe that you'd be unaware of.
Yeah, yeah. But then what, I don't know, what would their motivation be? I think that would really bother me, because no one's giving you a free vacation.
We're back to the Simpsons episode, right?
Yeah.
Like, why can't it just be altruism?
I think there's too much of the other, man. I think there's too much tribalism encoded in us to really trust something truly alien. Like that, it would take a process. It would take a long process of cultural exchange and acclimation to get over it. You ever see that show or that movie, Alien Nation? where the aliens actually do come to Earth, they like immigrate to Earth, right? And they assimilate and get jobs and stuff like that. And nobody like likes them. Everyone distrusts them. It's a really difficult experience for everyone involved.
No, this doesn't ring a bell. When was the show made?
It was in like the mid to late 80s, I want to say. Huh. There was like a feature film, and then they made a show, and I want to say it was Mandy Patinkin who starred as like the lead alien.
Interesting. So probably right around the same time V would have been out, right?
Yeah, but I don't know that V would have been as popular, because like Alien Nation was like a primetime drama in the
really?
U.S. Yeah.
Interesting. Huh. Yeah. I'll look it up.
Yeah, it's all right. I don't know if it holds up, but... it was still a very interesting premise. Like, they had pretty convincing... It was like Star Trek forehead aliens, you know, like low-budget effects. They didn't look truly alien, but, you know, they had, like, a pretty well-thought-out culture that differed from ours in a lot of ways, and it was interesting to see the show, like, explore that. And I think whatever you do with these aliens for a year, it's not going to be enough to ever... I don't know, sort of bridge the gap on its own between Earthlings and extraterrestrials.
Well, let's change the parameters a little bit. What if they say, you can come with us, but it's essentially indefinite.
Okay. So, like, maybe you essentially have to become one of them in a way, right? Like, this is your life now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd be more comfortable with that, and I'll tell you why. Because if it's just, I'm going for a year... And I got to assume I'm the only one that's going.
Well, let's
right?
let's say you can bring your wife, but you can't bring like the rest of your extended family.
Yeah, but like, okay, so it's like two people.
Yeah, okay, right. Like, you can't pick and choose the dozen people you want
to
take with you.
Like, we've got the responsibility then to be ambassadors for the whole human race.
Well, that's interesting, because I'm thinking I might not even come back and tell other people about my experience.
Really?
Well, yeah, maybe
would
not
they
necessarily.
Believe you?
Yeah, would they believe you? Yeah, like unless you have some kind of definitive proof, like. You can convince these aliens, like, I don't know, to...
Take a picture for your Instagram.
Right.
By the way, hit us up on Twitter at NoExpertsPod if you're an alien.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, please do. Yeah, Jonathan and I, as long as we can bring our wives, we'll gladly go with you to your home planet. If it's for a year or less.
Yeah.
Or maybe Jonathan will go forever, and I'll only go if it's for a year, because that's what you were just starting to talk about.
Yeah, I think I would actually paradoxically be more comfortable with the idea of leaving the Earth behind and wholly embracing existence with, you know, some sort of alien race, just because, I don't know, like, it seems like a lot of pressure to be the one or two people that they'll ever meet for that year, whereas if I've got 30 or 40 years living with them, then maybe I can have a more positive impact and give a more realistic picture of what humans are like and what we're capable of and, you know, what the potential for our fellowship and brotherhood is.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know, in the moment when they pitch the proposition, whether I'm going to be thinking about all that, but now that it occurs to me, I probably will. It's... So that brings up another thing, right? Like, I'm thinking about it in terms of, now I'm thinking about it in terms of, well, am I going to be prepared if this happens? And it's one of those things that will probably never happen to me, but you got to think that, like, governments, like nations, or like the Vatican, like really big, powerful organizations, they probably have some sort of first contact protocol in mind.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, they got to.
Yeah, it never even occurred to me.
They got to, right?
Like, well, governments maybe.
Okay, or
but
the
when
military.
You said the Vatican, like, yeah, that's a weird thing to think about.
Well, I think...
Because the Pope sat around and thought about, like, you know, so when the aliens come, they're almost certainly going to come talk to me first because of who I am. And what am I going to do when this happens?
Well, no, don't even think
I don't,
about
the
it.
The Pope doesn't believe in aliens.
No,
right?
I don't...
No fucking way.
No, I don't think the Pope expects that the aliens are coming to Rome first. But what I'm saying is, I said that, like, the very existence of aliens... like at once poses and resolves a number of religious and philosophical questions, right? Chief among them being, are we alone in the universe? You could argue, depending on your faith, that the existence of intelligent, non-human extraterrestrials basically confirms that everything that you think is true about where we come from is wrong, right? Like, I feel like the Vatican in particular would have a vested interest in... if that day comes.
Covering it up.
Not necessarily covering it up. Well, yeah, of course covering it up. But not just covering it up, but like interpreting like what it means for believers, right? Like they've got to have some prepared message depending on the nature of the contact, depending on the circumstances of the contact, right? Like, everyone calm down. This doesn't mean that God isn't real, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I can see why. Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, you spend an afternoon thinking about it, or you have like one conference and you discuss it and hash it out. You write it down. You seal it away somewhere, break glass in case of first contact, right? I'm not saying that they spend a lot of time on it, but I think they're prepared for it. You don't think?
It never occurred to me, but yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down. I mean, sure. Yeah, why not? They've thought of it. I don't know about the Vatican, though, man. It just seems like a weird thing.
Okay, well, maybe not the Vatican,
but certainly governments have.
Yeah, the U.S. government,
oh,
for
absolutely.
Sure. Right?
Oh, that's not to say there's...
The U.S. military, for sure.
That's not to say they don't even already have something, you know?
Yeah.
Somewhere there hasn't been something we don't know about. But I didn't want to get into conspiracy theories and speculation. It's more just a fun topic of, yeah, what would you do? Now, let's say...
Yeah.
What if the aliens say, I don't know... We'll be back in a day. You have 24 hours to prepare. Pack some bags, you know.
Okay.
Maybe grab a couple things you think you'd like to show us as representation of Earth. Like, what do you want us to know about here? Like, what are you gonna bring to show off to them?
Yeah. Well, you're packing your Big Lebowski DVD, right?
Yeah.
You're packing. What would you take with you?
I hope you're packing the Blu-ray, right? I mean, come on, man. You're really going to show them 480 as opposed to 1080?
You don't think they got a thing that's going to upscale it to three dimensions anyway? I don't know.
So white Russians then, yeah? Vodka.
Yeah.
Some Kahlua.
I think you've definitely got to introduce
Because if
them.
You're watching it, you're not drinking white Russians well,
right.
while you're watching
Yeah, right. Of okay. course. We're not savages. But I don't know. I think I probably would take a little alcohol or something, just to show them this sort of. I think alcohol is a great thing to take to an alien because it shows, number one, that we're sort of aware of the effects that different substances have on our own internal chemistry, right? And that we are willing to consume something destructive for like a short term benefit. I think that teaches you. Something meaningful about humans.
I'd be a little afraid though that I'm gonna turn them into alkies, right? Like, what if they try and they love it?
Well, then that's good.
Maybe, but well, I don't want to corrupt the aliens.
Well, it's not corruption to like if they decide they want to start brewing beer or something.
Yeah,
then
we could open the first brewery on whatever planet they're from.
Yeah,
probably
right.
not our solar system.
Right. Right. So I think alcohol is a good one. Some kind of snack. I'm not sure what though. I'm not going out and harvesting wheat or some shit, but I'm definitely going to be like, listen, I am only the thinnest sliver of human culture. You're picking me from a very specific time and place, and I'm gonna give you something that is important to me or meaningful to me in some way, but also illustrate something about my fellow humans, right? And I don't know, if I had a day to prepare, that's tough, man. Like, alcohol's a no-brainer. Take a bottle of wine or a six-pack or, you know, some bourbon or something like that. But I don't know, like, what book, what song? I guess you'd have to get that golden record from Apollo, right?
I'm bringing my guitar. I'm going to become the first rock star on whatever planet they're from.
Okay. That's interesting. See, that's... I would hope they wouldn't come to me because I'm not really going to be able to do any kind of artistic expression. Yeah, right? I don't know. I could do some stuff, maybe, but... yeah.
Are you familiar with SQL? Hold on. Let me write this query for you. It's going to blow your socks off. Have you heard of a left outer join?
Do you have a computer that I can... I wouldn't want to like give them the best of everything, though, is the thing. I'm not going to get like what someone thinks is like the sine qua non of albums. You know, I'm probably just going to grab like some Led Zeppelin MP3s and be like, listen... Here's a song that a lot of people love. Never mind what the song is. I'm just showing you this is a song, right? Or I don't know, in terms of a book, I don't know that I would take anything from the Western canon necessarily. I'm not packing a Bible for them, but I might certainly bring a comic book just because I think it would probably be easier for them to understand than the written word alone, but maybe not. Who knows? What else would you take?
Yeah, I think you're on the right track. Like, I can't go get some kind of famous art, right? Yeah. Like, it's like, hey, you know, why don't I go grab the Mona Lisa and then I'll show it to him, you know? I also kind of have to assume because they have the technology just to show up here and, you know, travel through space that...
They've got Wikipedia.
Right, yeah. They probably know some stuff, right? Yeah, they have to know some things. So, yeah, I'm going to take more things just for myself, I suppose.
Well, yeah,
there's some books I want to read.
Yeah,
it's like that's something to entertain me.
Yeah, you want to have something that's like part of your home. Excuse me, that's comforting, that's familiar to you, and something that you can really talk about in a way that makes sense. Like if I had like fucking I don't know like a scaled down version of La Pieta or something like that, I could say here's a sculpture. I can tell you who these two people are. I don't really know a whole hell of a lot else about it. Sorry. And then we're kind of at the end of the conversation.
I'm definitely making him watch the first two Godfather movies.
Okay.
And then we're going to pretend like I'm just going to lie to him and say it ended right there. Like, oh, yeah, that was it. After two, man, that fucking fantastic, right?
Oh, well, okay. So look, like joking about the Godfather aside, although that's a perfectly good choice, I think you'd almost have to give them, you'd almost have to bring something that, that illustrates our hopes and anxieties about aliens.
I was thinking the same thing, yeah, but in different ways, right? Like you could show them several different films or books that depict aliens in a different light.
Yeah, E.T. I would definitely take.
Yeah, yeah, E.T.'s sure. A good call.
But also Alien. I think I'd have to take Alien.
Predator?
Yeah, Predator would be a good one. That's great because it shows, you know, the alien adapting to our surroundings and mimicking us and, you know, respect, like to a degree, respecting, you know, humans' strength and intelligence and whatnot. And Arnold could kick their ass.
Yeah. Yeah, if we need to. Hey, look, I know you guys, like, I'm trusting you by going with you. But just in case you have any kind of, you know, evil plans for me, well, Arnold will see to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to think that they're probably somewhat familiar with like our cultural depictions of aliens if they're making an offer like that to you. But maybe not. And I think it's important to be able to show an alien that we're able to imagine a world larger than ourselves. A universe where we're not the most important thing. And when you think about it in those terms, like that kind of brings that whole crushing burden of responsibility back for me, because my God, they could go to the wrong person very easily. Like there's definitely certain people in this world that I would not want the aliens to hit up with that offer. God.
Yeah, I can think of a lot of people that I'm not talking about people I know. I'm talking about more like, you know, famous people.
Yeah, sure.
That I would hope they wouldn't go to. But let's just say they, like I said, it's pretty random. They just chose you. Does it change anything if they feel like they picked you on purpose? Like they're like, hey, you know,
we've studied
the planet for a while and we don't want to take like your president or your pope or your highest paid athlete or your, you know, most successful movie star.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted somebody, we think you represent, you know, humanity pretty well.
You're a good cross section.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're taking you.
I'd feel better about that. Yeah. I think that'd be a relief.
That puts more pressure on you, though.
No.
No?
No. Because I have to trust that they've made an informed decision. And if they haven't, then I have to trust my own ability to point out my own flaws and deficiencies and correct for my own biases and stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that I would be a good candidate, but I feel like I'd at least be aware of my own shortcomings in a way that I'm not sure a lot of people would. Because, you know, some people would just seize onto it as like, oh, this is an incredible experience and that's the end of it. versus, I don't know, I think you would have a responsibility, you know? And yeah, maybe it's not crushing if they've thought it through and, you know, made a deliberate choice, but it's still a responsibility. I'd still feel that pressure to some degree, right? If it was more random, or actually, let me flip the script on you. What if they came to you and said, listen, for whatever reason, you're out of the running, you're disqualified, but who do you think we should go to?
Oh, fuck them, then. If I'm out of the running, take Trump. kill two birds with one stone, am I right? Fuck you, aliens, and well, we got that guy out of here.
Wow.
Done.
Super political on We're No Experts.
It was bound to go there. It only took 3 episodes. No, all right. We won't go there then.
No, it's fine.
Did. Listen, we'll backpedal a little bit.
No. No edits.
No. So if I guess if I have to actually pick somebody legit that I feel like would be a good, representative. It's tough because, you know, you want to do something like where you think the person would want to go, or also like you're maybe doing that person a favor. It's like, hey, you know, who do I think would enjoy this, right? Like, I think you'd like it. So I'd be like, oh, go take Jonathan.
It would be like a compliment in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if it'd be like, oh, who referred you? Oh, it was your co-host, Jim Martin. Oh, excellent.
But I don't know. Like, I mean, you can't recommend a celebrity or something because you don't personally know them.
And also, fuck them. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want a representation of Earth to be. Yeah. What if they showed up and they made it fairly abundantly clear that your life is going to be awesome? Like, but you're kind of a glorified pet. Like, they're not going to keep you in a cage or anything like that. Like,
okay.
But, but at the same time, like, you know, you get to travel around space with them, hang out with them, walk around with them, but you're never really going to comprehend the same things they do. Like, you know, you take your dog on hikes and your dog has a great time and,
yeah,
you know, seems like, you know, we're not talking about the dog that, you know, unfortunately is chained up in somebody's yard. Like, the one that has its own dog door that pretty much has freedom, that whatever, like,
it's a great life.
It doesn't know. Yeah, its life
but
is
it's still a
somewhat
dog.
Limited.
Yeah.
But it doesn't wouldn't matter anyway because it's never going to be able to. It's never going to be able to live with you at the same level because it just can't comprehend those things.
So we're presupposing that these aliens are more advanced than us in a number of ways, and I have to think that even at my best, I'm probably only, and this is a bit of a callback, having dog thoughts compared to them already. I think you can't really rise above that level. You know, like I'm not going to be the one who changes them. I'm not going to be the one who influences them.
But would
like,
you go? Knowing that.
But are they, do I know that they think of me that way? Or am I just suspecting it like I suspect now?
Well, does it change it? I don't know. Would you go either way? Either scenario, would you go? Yes or no?
It's no different than a job. It wouldn't change my answer. If I decided to go, that wouldn't make me decide not to go. Right? I think I'd still go.
Yeah, I think I'd still go, even if they were just flat out open about it.
Because,
hey, you're never going to be on our level. And it's cool. Like, we're fine with that. Yeah. You're not going to, like, we could show you all this advanced science, but you're not going to get it anyway. So, but, you know, you can still hang out with us and see outer space and visit our planet, and your life will be fantastic. You know, you'll never have to work a day in your life again. You'll never need, you know, food, like whenever you're hungry, you'll get pretty much whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, your life will be good, man. You'll like it. Maybe they'll show you a couple slides, pictures of what their planet looks like and, you know, what your new, you know, digs will be. And you'll be like, oh, yeah, that looks pretty sweet. I can deal with that.
So the determining factor is what's the bathroom situation?
Oh, yeah, that's a good call, man. I don't know. Because nobody in movies with aliens or space ever uses the bathroom.
Seemingly not.
Yeah, or movies in general. So I have, and since that's the only kind of education I have about this type of thing, then that's all I can go on.
And are we talking about a litter box? Because no, I don't know if I can do that.
No. I mean, no, right? There's no, they're aliens. You got indoor plumbing.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe they just have special beams that just disintegrate molecules. Like you just walk through a door and it's
yeah,
done.
That's done. You never have to do that again.
Yeah, they wouldn't even understand what you're talking about. What? You do what now? Oh, hold on.
We
gotta see that.
We knew you guys were primitive, but whoa. Huh.
I think I'd go, assuming the bathroom situation was legit. I think I would,
that's a good
I would
question,
want to though. Go. Yeah, I'd have to get that made clear.
I don't think I would have even thought to ask that.
Imagine you're you know, 6 hours into the trip and
yeah, you got to take a leak and you're like, what? Or even worse, right?
Yeah, right.
You take a shit and you're like, right. Where do I go, buddy? And they're like, what are you talking about? And they're like, you're going to have to do what? You're going to do this multiple times? Oh, man.
Hey, Snorflax, do you have an empty bottle anywhere? Can't you just hold it?
Are we there yet?
God, what if they're asking you because, like, your waste products is a delicacy? I don't think I could go then. That would make it weird.
Yeah, that would make it really weird.
Like, I don't want to be a milk cow. You know, that's the difference between being a pet and being, like, you know, livestock or cattle. What's the term for, like, an animal that you don't slaughter but that you get things from? Is it just livestock? I figured there'd be more of a term.
I don't know if there's a specific term for that.
Hmm.
Yeah, like the dairy cow versus the meat cow.
Yeah, but I mean, like, more general, where it's not talking about the specific species even. Like, you know, you'd use the same word for a sheep as you would for a cow.
Right? Yeah, I gotcha. I don't know.
It's got to be like livestock or something. Yeah. Write in if you know, mailbag at noexpertspodcast.com. Yeah.
Tweet it out, Twitter, at noexpertspod.
And if you're an alien, definitely hit us up. So we're coming to, like, we got about like 10 minutes before we hit our normal episode length. And I wanted to just take a quick sidebar to talk about something I noticed. So we have this sort of apocryphal audio conversation that we recorded in the early days of the podcast that probably won't be an episode, but it comes up all the time. The parking conversation.
Yep.
Yeah, right. Yep. So I wanted to give you a little background. Listeners, give you a little background. So there's this grocery store not far from here that has these special parking spots for expectant mothers, right? So if you're a pregnant lady, you can park there a little bit closer. It's not a handicapped spot, but it's close to the cart corral and it's close to the front of the store, right? And that's the doorbell. Wow. Live podcast. Yeah, no edits.
Get a guest star showing up.
So today, when we went to the BJ's Wholesale Club, I noticed that in their parking lot, they have special spots for parents with young children. Which is kind of a big fuck you to the pregnant ladies, is it not?
Wait, they didn't have expected mother ones? They only had parents with young children?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
It is weird, right?
Yeah.
And you would think that if you were going to do it, you would do it consistently with, you know, other specialized parking.
Well, we definitely need to shame BJ's then. So if you're not familiar with this, if you're listening, which I have to assume as of right now, all of our listeners are local. However, if you're not local, BJ's is a wholesale membership club where you get things in bulk. Costco, Sam's Club. It's one of those types of deals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know Costco.
Yeah, I think Costco is, everybody knows Costco, right? Yeah. The place with the expected mother's parking is a grocery store. It's just a regular old grocery store. Yeah. It's kind of like a Kroger. It's called Harris Teeter. It's pretty regional, I think, though. It might even be owned by Kroger nowadays, but it's a Vons or a Kroger or whatever you have in your area, you know, grocery store. You get the idea. So there's a difference. Yeah, it's weird, though. Why would you have parking for only it says what was the label?
I'm pretty sure it says parents with young children, huh. Or it might have even said infants. I don't remember very clearly, but in any case, it's not for expectant mothers, right? And I was of the opinion that the expectant mothers thing wasn't as good to begin with because it's such a narrow window of time that, you know, you're out at the grocery store and you're pregnant, right? And I got to imagine that there's more people who have young children longer than there are people who are pregnant going to the grocery store.
Hot take. I think all that you're accomplishing by having a parking spot like this is saving a designated spot for a big enough asshole that's willing to park in that spot but not be what that spot's labeled for.
Yeah, no one's policing it, right?
Right. The they're still called handicap spots, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, okay. The handicap spots, for the most part, people aren't going to park in unless they have a sticker, license plate, and, you know, placard, whatever it is, right? Because it's illegal, right? You're going to get a ticket or towed, or I don't know. I've never done it.
Because why would you?
Right. And I think, but I think people don't because of the fear of the penalty. But there is no penalty for going to Harris Teeter and parking in the expectant mother spot. But yet most people aren't going to do it because, again, why would you? Yeah. But you're right. There's a short window of time for actual. How many expectant mothers are showing up at your local Harris Teeter on any given day at a time and finding that open, what is there, one or two spots in the whole damn parking lot?
Yeah,
something. No, you're probably just, you're proportionally, you're probably going to have more assholes that are just willing to park in that spot because it's close and it's generally open.
And I wonder how often those spots, regardless of who they're reserved for, are just sitting there empty, right? Like, it doesn't seem to me like any great sin to park there, even if you don't qualify in theory. But at the same time, it's not something I would do.
No, I'm always fine with just parking wherever the easiest place to get a spot is because, well, see, I mean, it's a waste of time to drive around and just look for a damn spot just to get, you know, slightly closer.
All right, so what if the aliens came to you, but they parked in the handicapped spot and they didn't have a sticker in the UFO? Would you go with them?
Hmm. Yeah, I'd go. Yeah, it doesn't change that. Yeah, I'm still going. So they didn't know better. They're aliens, right?
Well, no. I mean, well, okay, yeah. We didn't really set the ground rules.
What if they they knew? They seemed like kind of like they seemed kind of douchey.
Yeah, they're like bro aliens.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, yeah, man. I don't think I could go then, right? Are you representative of your whole race? Is this all? Is this my life now?
Oh, geez. You know, that reminds me, and I know that we're coming to the end, I guess, but that reminds me, I think one of the things you would have to take is some kind of comedy, right? They'd have to understand jokes. You'd have to make them understand humor.
Yeah, sure. I can go with that.
I think that's essential. I think that's so core to the human experience.
Like, you're also without other people to you know,
you could
use humor with,
you could sarcasm, steal so many jokes.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, that's true. You could do that.
But you're right. That you would slip and be sarcastic or something and not even realize it. And unless they knew what the hell you were doing, it could turn out badly.
Joke stealing would be good. Also, I would claim to have written a bunch of songs that I didn't
write. here's a little tune called Highway to Hell.
Have you heard Hey Jude? No. Well, I wrote it in the shower this morning. It's fantastic.
You'd have to sort of parcel it out. Like, you couldn't just come completely out with all the Beatles hits in one magical night, you know. You'd have to be like probably 6 months into it. I got another idea for a song. It's called Imagine.
But what if they don't get it? What if they're just like, what? Like,
all right, there's no guarantee it'll be popular.
Yeah, they're going to hate it.
They might like Jingle Bells might be the pinnacle of human achievement to them. You're really rolling the dice with those selections.
It's like Demolition Man, where people listen to like jingles from songs, and that's what they think was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, except they weren't aliens. That was the future.
Yeah, they may as well have been aliens. Yeah. That's not a good movie.
Yeah, don't watch Demolition. And I'm certainly not taking it with me.
Solid don't recommend.
don't show that to the aliens. All right.
Nice. So, any preview for our next topic? Any ideas?
Maybe we'll come up with an idiom. We skipped an idiom this week, but we're not going to do it every week, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Because we'll run out of idioms.
Yeah.
So, and maybe we'll try to work on an intro even. Oh, big promises now.
Yeah, right.
Intros and idioms.
Don't let your reach exceed
and
your
other
grasp.
Things that start with eyes, because alliteration.
Well, let's see, images, right? Or is it, it's a assonance when it's a vowel sound, right?
Is that
not
right?
Not alliteration.
Oh, my bad. Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's like all similes are metaphors, but not all metaphors are similes.
Well, either way, we will work on it, and maybe we can get some images on one of our websites.
God, the promises just
take
keep coming.
Take a image of the sign next time you're at BJ's.
Good call. Yeah. I like that.
And then
like
we'll know for sure. So people that don't live around here or know what the hell a BJ is.
So I'll try to get the Harris Teeter and the BJ's, and we'll do like a poll on Twitter. And all five of you who follow that account right now can vote which one you think is the more useful parking spot. Or justified, I guess. Anyway.
Or what's your takes on it, everyone? Like, I mean, is it stupid to have these spots? Is it a good use of it? Is it, you know, I'm not trying to be too cynical about them. I mean, I think the intention's good, and I certainly applaud that, right? Like, the idea of having a spot for people that could use it,
yeah,
good for them, man. Like, that, like, I hope it gets used, you know, the way it's intended.
If you have some insight into that decision-making process that goes into those spots, or if maybe you've seen yet another type of spot we haven't encountered, I'd love to hear about it. Yeah.
And feel free to ridicule the idea of having a store around here called BJ's if you're not from around here. Because when I moved here too, and I just laughed at it. Yeah. Back to dog thoughts. Yeah, I thought it was funny, and I still think it's funny.
All right. Hit us up at mailbag@noexpertspodcast.com. Find us on Twitter @noexpertspod, or visit the website at noexpertspodcast.com. And we'll see you again in 2 weeks.
Episode 4.